yes. I am haunted by memories from my past, but not all of them are sad. I recall many joyous times with Paul Atreides. Paul, not Muad'Dib, mind you. As I consider those times now, I feel like a man who has been served many fine banquets.
Gurney Halleck, Memories and Ghosts, Unfinished Songs. Scenting prey, the gaze hounds bayed, and Gurney ran with them. The cool air of that afternoon burned his lungs as he crashed through the underbrush, subconsciously trying to run from the devastating news. The muscular gaze hounds, with gold-green eyes, wide set and bright, had a vision as acute as an eagle's and a keen sense of smell. Protected by thick coats of russet and gray fur, the beasts splashed across brackish puddles, ripped through pampas grass, and howled like a choir performing for the tone deaf. The joy of the hunt was palpable in their actions. Gurney loved his hounds. Years ago, he had kept another 6 dogs, but had been forced to put them down when they contracted the bloodfire virus. Jessica herself had given him these puppies to raise, and he resisted placing himself in a risky emotional position again, resolving not to become attached, considering the pain of having to put down all those other dogs. That old grief was nothing compared to what he felt now. Paul Atreides, the young master, was dead. Gurney stumbled as he lagged behind the hounds. He paused to catch his breath, closed his eyes for just a moment, then ran on after the baying dogs. He had no real interest in the hunt, but he needed to get away from the castle, from Jessica, and especially from Izbar and his Kizaret cronies. He could not risk losing control in front of others. Gurney Halleck had served House Atreides for most of his life. He had helped to overthrow the Tliloxu and reclaim Ix for House Vernius before Paul's birth. Later, he'd fought at Duke Leto's side against Viscount Moritani during the War of Assassins. He had tried to protect the Atreides against Harkonnen treachery on Arrakis, and he had served Paul throughout the years of his recent jihad, until retiring from the fight and coming here to Caladan. He should have known the difficulties were not over. Now Paul was gone. The young master had walked into the desert, blind and alone. Gurney had not been there for him. He wished he had remained on Dune, despite his antipathy toward the constant slaughter. So selfish of him to abandon the jihad and his own responsibilities. Paul Atreides, Duke Leto's son, had needed him in the epic struggle, and Gurney turned his back on that need. How can I ever forget that? Or overcome the shame? Splashing through sodden clumps of swamp grasses, he abruptly came upon the gaze hounds barking and yelping where a gray-furred marsh hare had wedged its bristly body into a crack under a mossy limestone overhang. The 7 dogs sat back on their haunches, waiting for Gurney, fixated on where the terrified hare huddled, out of reach but unable to escape. Gurney withdrew his hunting pistol and killed the hare instantly and painlessly with 1 shot to the head. He reached in and pulled out the warm, twitching carcass. The perfectly behaved gaze hounds observed him, their topaz eyes gleaming with alert fascination. Gurney tossed the animal to the ground, and when he gave a signal, the dogs fell upon the fresh kill, snapping at the flesh as if they had not eaten in days. A quick, predatory violence. A flash of one of the bloody battlefields of the jihad crossed Gurney's memory vision, and he blinked it away, relegating those sights to the past where they belonged. But there were other memories he could not suppress, the things he would miss about Paul, and he felt his warrior self breaking down, crumbling. Paul, who had been such a huge, irreplaceable part of his life, had faded into the expanse of desert, like a Fremen raider evading Harkonnens. This time, Paul would not be coming back. As he watched the gaze hounds tear the meat apart, Gurney felt as if parts of himself had been torn away, leaving raw and gaping wounds. That night, when Castle Caladan lay dark and quiet, the servants retired, leaving Jessica to mourn in private. But she could not sleep, could not find peace in an empty bedchamber that echoed with cold silence. She felt off balance, adrift. Due to her Bene Gesserit training, the valves of her emotions had been rusted shut with disuse, especially after Leto's death, after she had turned her back on Arrakis and returned here. But Paul was her son. With a silent tread, Jessica glided down the castle's corridors to the doorway of Gurney's private chambers. She paused, wanting someone to talk to. She and Gurney could relate their common loss and consider what to do now. How to help Aaliyah hold the already strained empire together until Paul's children came of age. What sort of future could they create for those infant twins? The winds of doom, the politics and desert storms could strip a person's flesh down to the bone. Before she knocked at the heavy door, Jessica was surprised to hear strange sounds coming from within, wordless animal noises. She realized with a start that Gurney was sobbing. Alone and in private, the stoic troubadour warrior unleashed his sorrow with an unsettling abandon. Jessica was even more disturbed to realize that her own grief was not nearly so deep or uncontrolled. It was somewhere far away, out of her reach. The lump inside her was hard and heavy, and numb. She didn't know how to access the emotions beneath. The very idea upset her. Why can't I feel it the way he does? Hearing Gurney's private sorrow, Jessica wanted to go in and offer comfort, but she knew that would shame him. The troubadour warrior would never want her to see his naked sentiments. He would consider it a weakness. So she withdrew, leaving him to his own grief. Unsteady on her feet, Jessica searched within herself, but encountered only hardened barriers that surrounded her sadness and prevented a real emotional release. Paul was my son. As she returned to her chambers in the dead of night, Jessica quietly cursed the Bene Gesserit sisterhood. Damn them. They had stripped away a mother's ability to feel the proper anguish at losing her child.